Okay, turn with me tonight to Romans chapter number 12. And here we find a number of years ago, evangelist John Getch was here. And we had a number of young, I think we had a young people's choir that night. And his remark was, "What I see is potential." And we want to talk about taking potential and turning it into reality. Taking potential and turning it into reality. And in one sense, this is a kind of a preliminary passage of scripture that I put on my heart concerning our young people as we have that meeting afterwards. So make sure you listen real close, because I got this message just for you guys, okay? But if you're not in that group, don't go to sleep. Turning potential into reality. Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord," and etc. Great passage of scripture in Romans chapter 12. And in this particular passage of scripture, we recognize that every believer has been has in God's plan been specially privileged with different gifts and abilities. Every believer has been specially privileged with different gifts and abilities. Verse number 6 says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us." Now, the secularists, the humanists, now they don't understand this. They don't understand the purpose of their life. They don't understand how they were made. They don't understand God's plan for the human life. You know, Psalm 139 tells us that God has a great plan for everyone's life. And he certainly has a great plan for the believer. In Psalm 139, if you're not familiar with that passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us that that as he spoke of the babe, yet in the womb. And Psalm 139 and verse 15. It says, verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." That's a symbol, a figure of speech, speaking of the womb. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet was none of them. When as yet was none of them. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written. What a great truth that God, while we were yet imperfect, while yet we were being the womb, while we're yet in those formative days of the embryo, God said that all our members were written in a book. God has a plan for your life. And in that plan is the privilege of gifts, of abilities that in the plan of God He has given you and I. And we need to understand that is important understanding of life. It's a reality of life. Now, those gifts may be the gifts of experience. Those gifts might be the gifts of opportunities. Those gifts might be different abilities that you have in your own person, whatever they might be. You know, it's interesting that the Bible says about gifts. It says, verse 3, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You know, there's some people that are really gifted. Now, I'm not trying to pick at anybody, but you know, people like musicians, people like artists. You know, my wife and I, we were talking the other day that my wife had a class one time on drawing, and it didn't really help too much. And if you're in one of my classes in Bible class, you know that I do a great job of drawing. And you just talk to the students, they can tell you that I do not have the ability to draw. Now, don't make fun of me. I just don't have that ability. But just don't forget, because you haven't forgot my artwork either. You know, so it really accomplished its purpose, even though it wasn't very good art. But, you know, those are kind of special gifts. Those are special abilities. And, you know, the Bible says that people ought to think very seriously, very soberly about having those gifts. You know, you give some person and, you know, you give them a piece of paper and a pencil and they draw something and you say, whoa, where'd that come from? Man, that's good. You know, I have a friend, I think he probably has Jewish blood. And, you know, he has the ability that everything he touches turns to gold. You know, and, you know, some of us, we have the ability, everything that we touch turns to bankruptcy. You know, but, you know, those abilities, they came from God. They came from God. And what's the Bible saying? You know, that many times the more gifts that a person has, the more they don't think they need God. The more they think they don't need God, and the more they think they don't need to follow the rules. I think the young people I went to Bible college with, and, you know, I was never in a singing group. I was never in a speech group. I was never in a play. They never even asked me. And, you know, on every college campus, you have these people who have, you know, they do everything. You know, they do this, they do that. And, you know, especially back in those days when there's a real emphasis on performance rather than spirituality, Most of those young people who had all the ability, doing nothing for God. And if they are, they're big compromisers. And to take an old farmer like me, didn't have any ability to offer God, so I had to just give him my life. But, you know, God has a plan. And in that plan is the privilege that he has gifted you and I. That's a very serious thing. And there's a reason that he has gifted you. There's a reason that he has gifted you. And of course, the passage here is telling us, verse 4, for we have many members in one body. Oh, what do you mean? Yeah, guess what? God has a plan for you, and the center of his plan is Matthew 16:18. I'll build my church, and that's the New Testament local church. Amen. And in that body, God has given you abilities. And God has given you abilities to use those abilities. It's a privilege. It's also part of his plan. And this is a very important principle that we need to really grab a hold of. You know, you can be like the person who had one talent. And when the Lord came, the man had buried the talent. And God says, why didn't you at least put the talent in the bank and get interest? But he didn't use his talent for God. And you know, there's some people who have what I call false humility. They have false humility. And they say, well, I don't have anything I can do for God. That's not true. That's false humility. That's another form of pride. And that pride is saying, my life is mine. I'm not going to give it to God. I'm not going to give my life to God. I'm not going to give my abilities to God. I want to live my own life for me. So, you know, there's two perspectives here. The great privilege of multitude of gifts. And with that, there comes the responsibility of recognizing that, wow, God has a plan for my life. And if I don't live according to that plan, I'm going to miss out when I stand at the judgment seat of God. You know, I'm going to miss out. And you know what? You might have 10 talents, but you use one of them for God. Guess what? When you stand before the judgment seat of God, you're going to be missing out. Because you only live 9/10 of your life. Now, if you have talents, and sometimes people say to me, oh, I can't do anything. I don't have any talents. Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. God has given everyone gifts. Now, if the one person who had one gift and hid it in the ground, the Lord didn't to speak well of him, what about the person who has 10 gifts and hides them in the ground? That would be a pretty bad day, wouldn't it? So recognize that God has a plan, and God has privileged us. You know, God has privileged us. And you know, that is a wonderful thing, to think that God has privileged us with abilities. I like what Brother Josh said the other day. Not too long ago, we were talking about, he likes woodwork, I like woodwork. And I know he was building something for someone. And he spent a lot of hours building that, whatever it was, out of walnut. I'm sure it was very beautiful. And I put a lot of time into it. And you know what he said to me? You know, it's not fun doing this if it's not for the Lord. It's not fun doing this if it isn't for the Lord. You know, there's a perspective of these gifts that's very important. And there's an emptiness in life when those gifts are used for ourselves, rather than being used for God. There's an emptiness in life. There's a missing out on life. There is a missing of the plan of God for your life when you don't use your talents for God. You'll never find the blessedness in life using them for yourselves. They've been meant to be used for God. So we have this privilege of these gifts. We have this plan that God has for us. And now let's talk about using our perspective on the serving the Lord with our gifts. Verse number 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with that cheerfulness. Now, in Romans chapter 12, we have a list of gifts. I call these natural abilities. I call these natural gifts. Gifts that you probably are born with. Now, these gifts are different than the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these were the apostolic gifts. And the gifts of healing and those different gifts, most of those gifts were apostolic gifts. And they had a particular purpose in a particular time. And they were over at that time. We have in Ephesians chapter number 4, we have the gifts to the church. And these are gifts that God gives, enablement in his plan. And, of course, we know them. It says, and he gave some, Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And we have the apostles and the prophets, and through them the scripture was given. And that office of apostle and prophet is completed with the New Testament completion. But he says we have the gift of the evangelists, the gift of the pastors and teachers. These are gifts given by God, and they are gifts given to men for the church. But here we have natural gifts. Now, what is distinct about natural gifts? It says, if you had a gift of, for instance, giving, let him... let's see, where is it here? He that giveth, verse 8, let him do it with simplicity. Now, some have, the Bible saying, a real ability to give. And this ability has been given from God. But it's also a part of the Christian life that people should seek after. Now, you may not have the gift of giving, but you ought to seek to copy those who have the gift of giving. You may not have that that gift of exhortation where you can really encourage someone and you talk to them and, boy, I tell you what, they've just been encouraged and they're going to do right. Well, you know what? It's something that each one of us should seek to have in our life. And we can go through this whole list. And what is the principle here? Okay, there are at least two principles. One is the gifts that you have, you need to use them. The second principle is gifts that you don't have, you need to seek to have them. Gifts that you have, you need to use them. And gifts that you don't have, you need to seek to have them. All right? I think that's a very important principle. If you don't have the gift of talking to people, I don't have the gift of gab. You know, you may know that if you know me well enough. But you know, I really work at it. I work at it. I work at talking to people. I work at witnessing. I work at trying to talk to people that I don't know. That's not something that comes natural to me. But I work at it. We have, and so we have these, and you know, I think there's some people that probably in this church, I know they do, they have the gift of giving. But you know, each one of us needs to seek to develop our gift of giving. We all need to seek to work at it. And how do you work at it? You work at it by every year trying to give more. You know, there's some people here, they'll just give everything they have, and they got this great big smile on their face, and that's such a wonderful joy to watch them. They just keep giving and giving and giving, and you know, they come past and say, "Hey, Pastor, what about such and such? You know, how's that coming?" And you know why they're asking the question? Because they want to give something. Well, that is a wonderful gift that God has given people. But you know, all of us should seek to have that kind of gift. Amen? And so, we have an important truth here. Use the gifts that you have to the ultimate. Now, some of you young people, you know what? You have musical ability. You have musical ability. And you know, I think I know how some of you think. Not because I have that, okay? Because I have a couple people in my family have musical ability. But you know, you could think, you know, well, you know, I do this and you know what I think? This is how I think. You can do this and you can do this and you have musical ability and you need to do this and this and this too. Because God's given you that ability. You don't put the stop down and say, well, okay, you know what? This is all the further I'm going. And this is my ability for God. And you know, you take somebody like me and you say, well, that's just not right. I don't have the ability to do that. But you do. Why don't you do it? Can't ask me to do it. I don't have the ability. You know, you have the ability. You need to use it to the maximum, not the minimum. To the maximum and not the minimum. On the other hand, you also need to develop your abilities in every area of your life. Every area of your life. Now here is the man, he had 5 talents, he gained 5. And then there was the one who had no talents, and he said, now give it to the one who had 5. And they said, well, that isn't fair, he's already got 10, why should you give him more? There's a principle there. You know what the principle is? There's the principle, is the person who uses their abilities to the max, God will give them more. God will give them more. Do you want to shortchange your life? You want to shortchange what God's plan for your life is? No, you don't want to do that. You want to be able to stand before God, having done as very much as you possibly could for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the reaching of the lost for Jesus Christ, and doing the will and the work of God. So the principle is use your ability that you have to the maximum. And secondly, seek to get abilities in every area possible of your life. That's important philosophy. That's important way of taking potential and turning it into reality. That's how you take a life and you make a life that's going to produce something for eternity. You know, how do you take and gain other abilities? I suppose there's a lot of ways, but I know of a pretty simple way. Very simple way. You know what it's called? Volunteer. Volunteer. Something needs to be done. You know, I don't know what we called for a volunteer for. But you know, if there's a volunteer or there's an opportunity to volunteer, what do? Oh, I know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to sit back in the pew and wait for somebody else to do it. That sounds to me like the guy who had one talent and buried it. No, when there's something to do, what do? Volunteer. You say, when should I volunteer the most? The younger you are, you know, when you get to be a young person, you know, like that prime age of Jacob there, or Sarah, or Rachel, or whatever. When you get to be, start getting in that prime age, like that, what do? You ought to be volunteering for everything you can volunteer for. You're at the prime of life of being able to build your ability and your service for God. And you know, there's two reasons for that. Because the older you get, the less you are going to be able to develop your abilities. And the older you get, the fewer and the more limited your ability will be to develop your life. You know, sad to say, I'm already at that stage, you know, when certain things have to be done. Guess what? I don't volunteer. You know, when someone wants to move a piano, I don't volunteer anymore. I don't volunteer. You know, I know better. And I'll let somebody else with some muscles do that and with a good body. But I'm not going to volunteer for that because... you know what? The piano might be on top of me. But you know, there was a day I would have volunteered for the piano. Or anything else. Or anything else. So we have a great truth here. We've been privileged. Boy, you know, you think of the young people in this church. The opportunity that you have to serve the Lord. The opportunity that you have to learn. Now, you know, I think of Mrs. Canise. You know, she was taught a lot about serving the Lord by my wife's brother-in-law. And she came to Maranatha, and she came to Maquonago. She came with a great attitude. And, you know, her attitude was, whatever needs to be done, Pastor, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, at the beginning of the church, we didn't have a lot of qualified people. And beginning of the church, my wife spent a lot of time in the nursery, a lot of time in the nursery. She spent a lot of time in the nursery. She spent a lot of time doing that kind of stuff and doing everything. And here comes Valerie Canise. And so she's in college. She's got all this musical ability, and she has a lot of ability. And what does she do? She's in a nursery. Oh, I don't know how often she was in a nursery. She might have been in a nursery 2-3 times a week. I mean, she's a big-time college student, you know? Going to Bible college, going to serve the Lord. She's in a nursery 2-3 times a week. And she's also doing this, and my wife probably corrected me afterward, telling me what I didn't remember, because I don't remember everything. But, you know, so guess what? She marries a missionary. And she goes to a country she doesn't understand the language. And it's a brand new church. And guess what? She's in the nursery. And she's teaching junior church. And she doesn't even understand the language of the children she's talking to. And she's doing that Sunday night and Sunday morning, maybe the midweek service a lot of the time. And it's not really even hardly, she could probably tell you those first few years how many times she was in the preaching service. Not even in the preaching service. You know what? I remember her telling me, Pastor, guess what? At McQuanago was my missionary training. When I went to the field, I did exactly what I did at McQuanago. And I could do it without complaining. And I could do it without murmuring. And I could do it without a pity party. And I could do it without saying, woe is me. Look at me. And nobody cares about me. Look at what I got to do. You know, this is an opportunity that people have no idea what the opportunity is, but it is a great opportunity. And the opportunity is for people who volunteer, who give their life to the Lord, said, I'll do whatever needs to be done for God. Huh. What if Valerie Kanish came here and says, you know, Pastor Roberts, you know, I'm not going to serve in a nursery. I'm too big for that. I'm too important for that. I mean, I'm majoring in music. Why should I be in the nursery? You know, and I want to be in charge of, a 50-piece brass band, you know. And what am I doing at this place? You know, an old farmhouse, you know, and coming on Saturday night and spending 3-4 hours every Saturday night cleaning the house and getting it ready for church and all of that stuff. Man, I'm here. I went to Bible college. I didn't come here to sweep up an old farmhouse, get it ready for church. Well, I remember the Friday night that she stayed at our house for the weekend, and we had some new chicks. And they were in the kitchen. And the sink overflowed. And water and chickens and chicken manure. Not too pleasant. Unclean. You know what? Not a complaint. That was life. Life on the Roberts place, that's for sure. But you know, she wasn't thinking, she didn't know what God was doing. But God was preparing her. She had an opportunity to develop her life. She had an opportunity to gain ministry experience and character and you name it. And it prepared her for a life that was very, very important. I remember a dear friend of mine, not a real friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine. He and his wife, too, started a church. They started a church in Syracuse, New York, not too long after we started a church. And you know, they were in the kind of same situation. The church met in their house, in the parsonage. And you know, She had a hard time. She had a real hard time, every Sunday school kid, knowing what's under every bed and what's in every closet and snooping around every part of your house, and her whole life just being completely open and to every person in life. The church really never made it because the pastor's wife couldn't handle it. She couldn't handle the emotional sacrifice of going through that. Where do you get that kind of training? I tell you, I don't know where you get that kind of training. I think that the only place you get it is volunteers for Jesus. Whatever needs to be done, do it. Volunteer. Give your life. Learn how to do it. If it needs to be done, and you have a brain that works and a body that's still functioning, and it needs to be done, volunteer! You never know what God is going to do in your life. And that's why you find a principle in the Word of God. God has a plan. It is a privileged plan. Paul, it is a privileged plan for your life. And we need to use the talents that we have. We need to use them to the maximum. Right, guys? Maximum. Not minimum. Maximum. And then we need to seek to gain all the other abilities that we can gain for the Lord Jesus Christ for our life. You know how you get that? By volunteering for every opportunity that you can volunteer for. So that when our life is over, the Lord will be able to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It will only be done in that context when we use all our abilities to the maximum and we seek to develop and do everything that God puts in front of us for His glory. Then we can stand before God and say, "I've used my life to the fullest." And then He'll be able to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But you know, there's a context of all of this. There's a context for all of this. And that's where we want to close. There's a prerequisite to this kind of thinking. There's a prerequisite to this kind of outliving of the privileges of our lives and the opportunities of our life. And the context is found in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, there's a very important context here. Now, obviously, I need to understand there is a bigger context of that verse. So let's deal with the bigger context. What is the bigger context of this? Now, there's a number of them we could mention, but you know what the bigger context is? The bigger context is Matthew 28, 19-20. It's called the Great Commission. And that Great Commission is repeated in Mark 16. It's repeated in Luke 24. It's repeated in John 20. And it's repeated in Acts 1. And the Great Commission "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you." The Great Commission. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world." The New Testament context for every believer is that we have a responsibility to take the gospel to the ends of the world. That's the context. The context of this privilege, of our gifts, our abilities, God's plan, of how we develop them in the local church, how we live in the local church. It's in a context. It's a context of the Great Commission. And everywhere they went, wherever they were scattered, they went preaching the Word of God. They were consumed with the Great Commission. Everything in the New Testament, all the epistles, are with the context that you and I have a purpose for our life, and the purpose of to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ did come to this world, that He died for our sins, that He rose from again from the dead, and that people by faith can be saved, born again into the family of God. And everybody needs to hear that message. And there's no one going to hear that message unless we do it. That's the context. Now, secondly, in that context, we find Romans 12. We have the Great Commission. Now, what do we have? The context. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, it's not too hard to volunteer if you've already volunteered. Not too hard to volunteer if you've already volunteered. It's not too hard. It's not a big struggle to use your abilities to the maximum if you've already given them to the Lord. And so this is not just a trite little nice passage of scripture that Baptists preach about. This is something not just for young people and, oh, I hope my young person gives his life to God and I want them to serve the Lord. But, oh, don't you touch my life. Oh, no, I'm an adult. Not me. I got my little, you know, I got control of my life. God, you just kind of watch it. Oh, we don't talk like that, do we? Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. No. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, in your body, well, it includes everything. Even includes your brain, doesn't it? Includes everything. Give your body a living sacrifice. Take your hands up. Okay, here it is. Lord, hands up. It's yours. Well, that's the context. You know why people with all these great gifts, why they don't accomplish much for God? Tell you why. They've never surrendered their life to God. They never surrender their life to God. And you know, with your life comes your abilities, doesn't it? And they want to give their abilities when they want. Oh boy, that's pretty tough job to get a hold of your abilities when you got a control of them. When you say, Lord, here's my life. Lord, my whole life. Everything that I am, everything I have, everything I will be, all that you have made me, my being, my mind, my heart, my soul, Lord, here's my life. Now God can take those gifts. Now those gifts are available. Now that life is available. And the maximum use of those gifts is available. And all the other things, all the other abilities that God wants to develop in that person's life and use in that life, They're all, now it's all available. God has a free reign. And so when the need comes up, it isn't like, oh man, oh, I don't want to do that. And now the pastor is pressuring. I can feel the pressure. I mean, nobody's raising their hand, you know. No one's volunteering. And, you know, oh, boy, yeah, man, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to. I don't want to do that. I can do it for myself, but I'm not going to do it for God. No way. Boy, you know, big struggle, right? Any of you ever struggle? How many struggle signing the church cleaning list? You ever struggle in that? Huh? Be honest. Be honest. You ever struggle? Maybe you don't struggle because you already said no to God. Now you just have to deal with your conscience. But you know, when you give your life to God, it's a lot easier because you know what? Even though we're saved, we're still kind of hard-hearted, aren't we? We still have to deal with selfishness. We still have to deal with our will. We still have to deal with, you know, the obstacles of learning how to give and enjoying giving and letting our life be used by God. You know, if you're a person that grew up having a chain on your pocketbook, we always tease Brother Greg about that. If you grew up with having a chain in your pocketbook, boy, I tell you what, it takes it's pretty hard to break, to cut those chains, isn't it? But that difficulty is broken at its root when we say, Lord, here's my life. Now, young people, be honest. Where are you? Where are you with your life? Have you really let the Lord be the Lord of your life? Have you really volunteered your life to the Lord? Say, God, here's my life. Here's my life, Lord. Here's everything I have. God, here it is. I surrender. I give it to you. Oh, then the Lord can lead. Then the struggle is mainly over. Now you can be about what really needs to be done. Serving God with your life. I wonder, you know, D.L. Moody used to have this saying, something like, God, give me 10 men. All I need is 10 men that are totally devoted to God. You probably heard that one. He could probably quote it. I can't quote it tonight. All I want is 10 men. They're totally devoted to God, and I'll turn the world upside down. What could happen with your life? What would happen in this church? Think of it, Philip. Think of it, Pastor John. What would be done in this church? What would be done through our young people in this church, this little church? If they would just say, Lord, here is my life. I give it totally to you. Man, I tell you, I know what would happen. There wouldn't be enough room for all the people in the choir. I know that much. I mean, we would probably be able to sell tickets to come soul winning. And we could go on and on. Really. How about it, mom and dad, adults? Be honest. Be honest. Has there been specifically, not that you don't, we don't need to rededicate ourselves almost weekly, daily. Can you really say that, Lord, you said, Lord, here's my life. It's yours. Could you be like a Valerie Kinese, comes to Bible college with all her talents and comes and says, Pastor, what do you want me to do? And I say, go to the nursery. And she's content to go to the nursery for years. Wow, that's how God works in a great way, isn't it? What an opportunity right here in this place. You know, we have a good God. We have a good God. God is so good. God is better than you could ever imagine. He is. He is so good. It is such a blessing to be able to serve the Lord. I just look at my life and I say, you know, I can't believe it. God is so good. All the things I ever wanted to do in life, and I have to admit, I never really wanted to be a fisherman or a golfer, especially after the last time I golfed, long time ago, the end of the iron went farther than the ball. But you know, God is good. I love to do the things that a lot of people wouldn't want to be in the kind of ministry we have, but I love it. Boy, I love cutting wood. I love doing wood work. I love building. I love making roads. You know, I love developing property. I love to preach, love to win souls. I mean, I just love to do everything that we get to do in the ministry. Everything I'd ever want to do in my life, I get to do it. And I get to do it for the Lord. You know why? God is good. But you know, there is a pathway to experiencing the goodness of God. Jesus said, He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it. You know what? That's about the same as saying, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Lose your life for God. And you'll gain far more than you ever, ever imagined. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these great truths of the Bible. Lord, there's a challenge before us tonight. There is a challenge. We live in a day, Lord, of selfishness. We live in a day of live your own life. We live a day of rebellion. We live in a day of live for pleasure. But Lord, you called us to live for you. You called us to reach the world for Jesus Christ. You called us, Lord, to surrender our life, our whole life, to you. All our abilities, all our future, all our potential, our whole being. Lord, there's a call to faith. There's a call to love, how much we really love Jesus Christ. And I pray that, Lord, even tonight, I pray that, Lord, there will be adults who will surrender. They will quit calling the shots and let you, Lord, lead their life. of where they should serve, how they should serve, when they should serve. Lord, I pray that young people will take a better look at their life and really come to grips with they really, really said, Lord, here's my life, my whole life. Lord, it's your plan. It is the pathway to that blessing. Oh, Lord, work in our hearts. Work in the hearts of young people. Work in the hearts of just the very atmosphere of our church, that it is a delight to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wondered, I'm seriously, not tritely, not Baptist formula type of thing, but my question is tonight, is God speaking to your heart? He ought to be. I hope he is. He wants to be. Is he speaking to your heart about really giving your life, surrendering your life to serve him? Your whole ability. I'm even talking about young people going to Baptist College of Ministry. I'm talking about really giving your life to the Lord and surrendering your whole life, all your abilities to the Lord. I mean this, I'm not talking about just pretense, going through the motion, but I mean really. And God is trying to get a hold of your heart tonight, and you know he's speaking to you. And you say, Pastor, Lord has spoken to me enough tonight that I'm willing to say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. That's your plan for my life. I just want to get in line with your plan. How about a young person? How about a BCM student? How about mom and dad? How about young person? I'm talking about first graders, second graders, third graders, fourth graders. I'm talking about senior citizens. The Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. Say, Pastor, uplift it. Pray for me. The Lord is speaking to me about surrendering my life to the Lord like I ought to. Okay? Amen. I see some important hands. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Good. Okay? Others. The Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. I don't know if I saw one BCM student yet. I'm waiting for them. I see some others. Praise the Lord for many adults, young people. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. I see that right in the back there. Amen. I see some others. God's speaking to me about surrendering my life, really surrendering my life to the Lord. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. All right. Others, God is trying to get a hold of your heart. How about some more adults? Lord, I thank you for those who've raised their hand. What a sweet thing to give our lives to you. Lord, you are pleased with a true sacrifice, a living sacrifice. It ascends up to heaven a sweet smell, just like the burnt offering in the Old Testament. And now, Lord, oh, I pray the devil would be defeated. Because I'm sure the devil is going to tell everyone who really sincerely raised their hand that they were a fool. They're a fool. Just responding to a man. Lord, help them to defeat the devil, resist him. And Lord, I pray tonight that you be glorified in the response, Lord, to your word and your will for our life. And we look forward, Lord, to just the joy of seeing what you will do in these different lives. What a thrill it is, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.